On the Bat's Back Do I Fly by Chitra Gopalakrishnan, read by Monica Chopra. We three sisters met in 2019, after 10 years of detachment. Although our third sister Neela, the youngest amongst us, lies prone on the floor, dead. In the harsh grey of a late New Delhi winter evening, on the 6th of January, to be exact, she rests wrapped in white, her dull gold sari beneath invisible, strung with strands of roses and tulsi to stop her smell souring in our noses. Neela is a picture of repose, eyes closed, face evenly laced with turmeric and sandalwood, nostrils stuffed with cloud-like cotton wads. But surfaces lie. They don't reflect a person's inner life. Kamala, the eldest amongst us, and I, Nirmala, stare unseeingly past a supersized front door as the night streams down as long vertical shreds of bluish-black rain. Glossy droplets curdle against our skin from an open window, sharp, cold. The nighttime shower has a raggedy, low, desolate buzz, a sort of murmured apology for our undesired experience. We two sisters have worked from 7 p.m. on into the icy, thickening dark, on her as yet warm, pragmatic flesh, to get her into the state of readiness, and sit and wait for the hearse to take her away. We won't be going to the cremation grounds. Rain, night, culture, poor safety, and zero knowledge of the area's topography are our convenient reasons. The funeral service director does not care for our guile or fakery for any of our reasons, only his invoice. A tall, glowing brass lamp stands at Neela's head for company. Its single wick is meant to be a symbol of the glow of the soul. Kamala and I, though seated beside her, are separated by margins of hostility that make the crossover to sibling companionship impossible. As a matter of fact, the lamp is the only glowing thing in her darkened house landscape that flounders under a power outage. In this complete blackout, all around us is only one thing, blackness. The doctor we summon, after a hurried internet search, mercifully arrives, swaying in the gloom, good-natured, unmindful of the showers or the darkness the power trip amasses, he writes down the cause of death as cardiac arrest. As a 35-year-old, is Neela's heart now open to the world beyond? Is her soul plotting its way through future wanderings? Or is she still caught between worlds, with her sense of self unobliterated, as we have not called a pundit to oversee her last rites? We have no way of seeing or saying, and we don't care. We are here on this benumbed night, not out of love for her. She is inherently unlovable for both of us. But because she has no one, no friends, husband, children. In fact, Kamala learns of her death on the phone from her maid, who in the same breath demands a salary. Her neighbors do not show up for her funeral, highly unusual for a close-knit North Indian community. As their homes are sunk in darkness, it could stand up as a ready excuse for them. To us, however, their absence speaks of something else. Her ungenerous spirit, her blade-edged speech and actions that must have rankled from within and spread out. Our decade-long break from sisterhood has been for precisely this. To rid ourselves, our nervous systems, of the cruelty that drifted from Neela as naturally as steam of boiling water. The parting of our ways with her became inevitable. Kamala and I, too, chose to pause for now our relationship for fear that our talk of Neela, which invariably there was bound to be, would heal one wound for us, but tear open others. Having blurred the edges of each other's presence for the last 10 years, we are now finally together beside Neela. Simply because we are sure of our distance from her. In the years running beneath this one, when we have known Neela's small and big cruelties, her unending stream of vehemence, her acts of revenge, her giving away of our secrets in childhood, her telling of false tales about us during our hellish adolescence, and her destabilizing of our friendships and marriages. We have both cracked from within and let some of her malice seep into us, settle down. And we have lived with frayed nerves, many complexities of hate, rising tides of anger and hot pain that don't ever ebb, as with a sense of being stuck in places we hate. It is befitting, perhaps, that Neela's only mourners are frogs. Their din makes silence not only becoming, but an urgent necessity. What gives Neela the right to lower us into her own darkness? Stretch her shadow beyond her life, I ask Kamala. One who I have forgotten has enormous, long-lashed, kind brown eyes and hair the color of dark honey, specks of sunshine in it. The rain rains hard. The coarse night, its dripping trails of water, slams up cold against our insides. In an urgent rush of words, she says to me, Nirmala, you and I have put a distance between us, as we have with her, for fear of keeping awake our known familiar demons. We have lived through these years pretending these devils were not there, that we have escaped them. But they were hidden in shadows, refusing to go unnoticed. Today, with her going away, something has clicked within. Slowing down, she continues, I know now we will keep the fiends she planted alive, only if we continue to agree to the terms of sadness. Retake. Slowing down, she continues, I know now we will keep the fiends she planted alive, only if we continue to agree to the terms of her sad, stunted world, to its impositions. Perhaps her precious, her prickly self-containment came from her own anxieties, from which she could not get away. Let's not see her end as the end of our relationship, but a space opening up for us, making our world more livable. Are you saying that rather than hold on to animosities or chase her ghost, we should savor the lightness and grace the world holds? I ask. Kamala nods. Let's start afresh, Nirmala, with a beginner's mind. So our going forward, away from the recesses of Neela's mind, feelings and actions, is easier, a little less jagged. We hear the god-awful horn of the hearse. The time is 3 a.m. As the black van, its ungodly exterior scratched and bruised, departs in the steamy dead light, and as we let Neela be flame carried into her future, the electricity that had been knocked out returns. Funny how inanimate things can acquire a new meaning in our minds. As we both sit in the illumination, relishing it, we are in this moment unaware of how violence too can quietly seep into the mundane. Just as the lights come on, so do the bats. A horde of them, wheeling and diving across her room in cheerful curiosity. This way or that way or this, they can't decide. They are oblivious to the distinction of indoors and outdoors and cascade in slow motion, black and white. To us, the sight is hallucinatory, other dimensional, menacing and piercing, all at the same time. A baby bat settles upside on Neela's portrait, an oil painting of herself that she has probably commissioned, and backlit to perfection to play out her persona to the galleries. The baby bat locks eyes with her, and then wings its way towards us, bringing something ragged in his breath, something that she has willfully left behind for us, something we can't escape. A past rising to meet the present.